Please open your Bible in Luke 5. Luke 5. It's a story you all know. And with that story, I want to encourage you, challenge you, and also share my testimony. Luke 5, 1 to 11. We have the custom to stand up. I don't know if you do it, so I just ask you to stand up while we're reading those 11 verses. And the message is called Launch Out into the Deep. And it came to pass that as the people pressed up on him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can be in church tonight, that we have the liberty and that you gave us the time and the health. And I pray that you help us to have a clear mind to receive your words and an open heart, that these words will find a good ground, and then the seed will grow up and bring good fruit. I pray that you encourage those that are discouraged tonight, and that you challenge those that are looking for a way to go. I pray that you bless each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Launch out into the deep. Of course, we told our children a lot about the churches and the people. I'm so blessed with the singing. We don't have all that in Germany. You all come and sing. That would be great. And now Pastor said, you heard a lot about us. I don't know what you heard, so you know us. And now we actually can build relationships. We can experience us in a deeper way, so to say. We can know each other. So I would say, as a Christian, you know, we experienced God already in salvation. Of course, there's no second blessing. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings, so we don't seek for another blessing. So we are with Christ, and he's in our lives. We're saved forever. But it is obvious that some people experience God in a deeper way, and some, they stay in the shallow, so to say. So let's look at this passage. It started in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed up on him. So the people, the multitudes were around Jesus all the time. They followed Jesus, they ate the free lunch that Jesus gave, and they heard the preaching and all that. Those were the multitudes. But in the book of Acts, we read about the 120. They stayed till the book of Acts, I guess. And then in the Gospels, we read about the 70. They got to know Jesus in a deeper way because they were sent out and they saw healing and all that. They knew Jesus in a deeper way. But the 12, they stayed even closer with Jesus. They experienced Jesus or God in an even deeper way. They knew him in a deeper way. They got to build a relationship in a deeper way with Jesus. And then, of course, with the 12, there were the group of three. There was James and John and Peter. They were with Jesus even when he healed or he resurrected the daughter of Jairus and the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Lord was grieved in the Garden of Gethsemane, and only those three experienced that. So even in Christianity today, you know, there are many that come to church and we hear the stories, we hear the Word of God, but there are many that stay in the shallow and only a few that experience God in a deeper way. Maybe you wondered about that and you asked yourself, why were there only a few who experienced a lot with Jesus and many that experienced just a little with Jesus? It's the same way today. The crowd is around Jesus, but only a few experienced Jesus in a deeper way. Now, when I was about 14 years, I was raised Lutheran. That's what we have in Germany, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church. Our village had a Lutheran church, so almost everybody was Lutheran. That's our tradition. And we had a pastor that believed in God, so he made us study the Bible, and we learned some portions of Scripture. And, you know, I heard about God and heaven and hell, and I remember being a young man walking out of the teaching and then looking up into the sky, and I thought to myself, if there is a God, then everything that matters is to know that God. That's the most important thing in life. If there's no God, and with the life that we spend on earth, everything is done, and then there's nothing more to see. But if there is a God, we must know Him. We must experience Him. You know, even then, when I studied electronics later, I remember studying for my exam, and I thought, if Jesus is really coming back, if He would come back right now, then everything that I do right now, it really wouldn't matter. And I wondered, you know, is there any way to experience God in a deeper way? I really had a thirst and a hunger for God. And then I got saved, and, you know, I was looking for a good church to go to. I knew that the Lutheran Church didn't, that's not a New Testament church, because I read the New Testament, I found many differences. So I wondered and I prayed to God, is there any group, is there any church that lives just like the Bible? And you know, as a young man, we went to FMBC, and that's where we met Preacher Stewart, another pastor at that time. But, you know, first it was all strange to me. You had the American flag and you had American soldiers and loud preaching. We're not used to loud preaching in Germany. It's very quiet in our churches. So it was all strange to me, but the Lord showed me those are the people that you are looking for. I felt the Spirit, I heard the preaching, and I needed to come back. And I came back. We got befriended, and we went on mission trips together. I wanted to experience God even in a deeper way. I remember traveling with Preacher Stewart, and he asked me in Bulgaria, being with the gypsies, you know, what is a young German man doing with the gypsies here in Bulgaria? And I thought to myself, well, I want to experience God in an even deeper way. You know, then my parents had a plan for my life. I think God had another plan for my life. So my parents had a good friend. He had a company, and he just wanted to educate me even a little more in his company. So he had the contract ready for me to sign, and I went there one day to sign the contract, and God showed me, going there, you cannot serve mammon and God. You have to decide right now. I have this plan, and you're going in another direction. So I arrived at my parents' friend, and I said, I'm sorry, I cannot sign the contract because I want to serve God, and I believe this is not the way to go for my life. And of course, that was a big disappointment, and it brought great sorrow in my family. They didn't know what I'm doing, and they didn't understand all that because I'm not raised in a Christian home. But, you know, I had that desire to experience God in a deeper way. And a lot of you could tell the same story, and you wanted to experience God in a deeper way. But here are 4 points. I believe deeper experiences with God are often preceded by failures and crises. You know, we read in that story, but the fishermen were gone out of them, the ships, and were washing their nets. And in verse 5 we are reading, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Though Peter worked hard, but he caught nothing. So he had all the work and he had to wash the nets, but it wasn't benefiting him. There was nothing that he caught. So I would say Peter had a small crisis. Well, I know a lot of you go fishing. Actually, in Germany, you have to have a license to go fishing. Now we have to have a license for everything. Here, I think you can just go and go fishing. Is that true? Now, you have to have a license here? Okay. And if you don't catch a fish, you probably have something else to eat. Well, with Peter, he made a living. So he needed those fish. And also James and John, they were partnering. They had a company together. They needed those fish. But that night, they worked all night long. They didn't catch anything. So that was a problem. I would say he had a mini crisis, but the Lord was preparing him that night for something even deeper. He wanted Peter to experience him in a deeper way. And I would say this experience will lead Peter to recognize Christ as God. This experience will cause Peter to know him, Christ. This experience will change Peter's life forever. This experience will motivate Peter for a lifetime to live for God. And this experience will make Peter a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. Though this little crisis was tough for Peter, it was preparing Peter for something. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you are in a crisis today. You don't have to answer that question. Maybe you experienced a crisis already. I can tell you, you will experience a crisis if you keep living. They just come that way. You don't have to look for them, but they're just coming that way. But it matters how you look upon them. Crises are a chance to know God in a deeper way. How do you look upon a crisis? You see, Moses, when he was brought up, when he was in kindergarten, so to say, he didn't say, "Oh, I want to be a shepherd one day." No, everybody told him, "You are going to be the Pharaoh in Egypt." But he failed as a prince. He killed an Egyptian and he had to flee. And he was a shepherd for 40 years and nobody knew about him. But the Lord wanted to prepare him. Now, this is a long crisis, 40 years. But then he experienced God in a bush. God talked to him and he said, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go." Everybody wants that experience. But remember, he had to be a shepherd for 40 years in the desert. Now, the same thing with the people of Israel. You know, everybody likes to experience how the Red Sea is departing and the people go through. Oh, yeah, we would like to experience that. But they've been slaves for 400 years. You know, the same thing is true about Job. In Job 42, verse 5, he said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." So, in other words, Job was saying, "I heard about you, but now I experienced you even in a deeper way." That's what he was saying. Now, crises are coming our way. How do you look upon, and how will you act in a crisis? Will you run from God? Will you say, "Oh, it's not worth going with God. There's no benefit in it." You know, Peter could have said that. When Jesus asked him if he can use a boat to teach, Peter could have said, "Well, you want to tell me about God? But God didn't help me all night long. I was trying to catch the fish. God is not for me. I don't want to hear about him." No, he didn't say that. You know, in Psalm 107, there's a cycle of crisis. And here's what we can learn. Every time the people experienced the crisis, the Bible says here, and then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's what people need to do in their trouble. Cry unto the Lord. That's a chance to know God in a deeper way. Cry to God. Come closer to God, not running from God. Now let me read to you the verses in Psalm 107, verse 4. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. That was verse 7. But now in verse 10, there's another crisis. So in verse 12, it says, therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Now, a lot of crisis we cause ourselves, you know. We bring ourselves in trouble oftentimes. But here the Bible says in verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And the Lord did it again. And he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Now it didn't take long in verse 17 and verse 19 then. It says, then they cried out unto the Lord in their trouble. There's another crisis, and they had to cry out to God again. And then there's another crisis coming in verse 27. And verse 28 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And at the end of verse 30, it says, so he bringeth them out unto the desired haven. Now, we all want to be in the desired haven, and we want to be safe and secure. But sometimes we experience crisis. And that's a time to cry out to God and experience him even in a deeper way. Now, Peter, I believe he already heard in his mind his wife saying, what did you catch today? You know, and how are you going to support us? How will you make money if you don't keep catching fish? He probably was in trouble. And sometimes we were in trouble, you know, even in Germany. When all the Americans left, the church left, of course, at that time I already studied the Bible in our Faith Bible Institute, and I was ordained and all that. You know, but still, you know, everybody leaving, it was tough on us. We stayed, but the church left. That's strange. And then, you know, at that time my father had cancer. We picked up homeless people and fed them, but, you know, we had children. We wondered, will the children have Christian friends one day? You know, there was no child at in church. I lost my job working on base. You know, I couldn't work there any longer. I lost my church. I lost my friends. And, you know, I cannot tell it was easy. But, you know, these were chances to know God in a deeper way. Now, secondly, for deeper experiences with God, we must take God's word personally. It's mandatory. Now, we see here in verse 4 in our text, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Peter. I like that. Jesus spoke to the multitudes, but then he turned to one single man, and he had a message for him. Now, when your pastor, Pastor Woods, is preaching here, he's preaching to the whole congregation. But, you know, I like people coming up when I'm preaching saying, the Lord spoke to my heart today. He turned to me, and he said, whatever, Joshua, or, you know, David, do this and this. Or he encouraged me. Now, I really personally, I don't like to hear, oh, that's a nice message you preached. Oh, you spoke good today. You know, I don't like to hear that. I really like to hear, the Lord spoke to me today. That's what I like to hear. Because the Lord needs to speak to us. And we need to take it personally. So the Lord turned around and he talked to Peter. He had a job to do for Peter. Now, in the book of Revelation, there were seven churches, and for all the seven churches, Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, they had ears. Of course they had ears. They can hear. Yes, of course they can hear. But did they have a heart that would accept the words of Christ? Did they take the words of God and took it personally? Or did they just listen and then walked out of the service and didn't apply it to their lives? You know, one day, if you're saved, you took the message of salvation personally. When I was a young man, I knew Jesus died for the whole world, but I just didn't take it personally. I didn't know that Jesus died for me. I knew Jesus loves the whole world, but one day I realized Jesus loves me, and that makes a difference. Now, if you want to experience God in a deeper way, you must take God's word personally. That's what I like about the Word of God. It speaks to us. Now, it spoke to me. You know, I wondered, will the Lord build his church? I know he does it for Americans, but will he do it also in Germany for Germans? Will he do it? I saw Americans all over Germany, missionaries building churches, and I wondered, you know, it would be great if the Lord could use me to build a church. And the Lord showed me in the Bible, he is building his church. So I took this verse and I took it personally. I said, Jesus, you built your church. You do it as you please. I took it personally and I experienced God in a deeper way. Thirdly, for deeper experiences with God, we must learn to act in faith. We must. In verse 4 it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for drought. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now in Peter's mind, he thought, Jesus, you're a carpenter. You know everything about wood. Jesus, you're a fisherman. You are a speaker. You're a preacher. You're a good preacher. But you are not a fisherman. I know about fish. And you know, many Christians today think the same thing. They say, Jesus, those stories in the Bible are great. The pastor, I'm glad he's living for God, but it's not for me. Jesus, you don't know my life. You can't help me. Well, that's probably what Peter thought. We have toiled all night. So, Jesus, there's no way. We know how to catch fish. We go out at night. We don't do it during the daytime. And then we fish in the shallow. You know, that's where the fish are. We don't go into the deep. And then we toiled all night. There are no fish. And now we need to go back and try it again? You really want it? Okay. And he took that step by faith. Well, he didn't put all the nets down, just probably one net. So his faith was small, but he did it. You know, sometimes we have to leave whatever is familiar to us, and then we have to step out by faith. And we need to do that if we want to experience God in a deeper way. Now, think about Joshua in the Bible. You know, the soldiers probably asked him, what's the battle plan for Jericho, Joshua? And he said, well, let's march one time around the city. So they say, it's great. And then we attack. No, we go home. The next day, what's the battle plan today? Well, we go one time around the city. Okay, we never did that, Joshua. Do we attack someday? Well, we just go one time around the city. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and then the seventh day, of course, you know, seven times. It doesn't make sense, Joshua. And then he says, well, then we will blow the trumpet and the walls will fall down. Okay, Joshua, we never did that before. You're sure that will work? Yes, that's the Lord's plan. We have to take a step by faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We just read today in the morning service. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, Noah did build a boat. We want to see the boat on Tuesday. Oh, not the boat that Noah built, but in Kentucky the boat. The ark encounter. Well, he built that on dry ground too, and the people probably asked Noah, what do you do there? There's no rain, there's no water, what are you doing? Well, he built it by faith, right? And then there are so many more, like Abraham. He went out not knowing where he went. We are walking by faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible says. And we need to be faithful. We need to learn, and I'm still learning, to walk by faith. We probably learn lifelong. But the Lord is faithful. Well, that's my experience so far. He's faithful, and he brought the money that we needed, the people that we needed. You know, we were just a handful of people. We didn't have any money. We still had the mortgage payment for the building you just saw in the video. It was a lot, you know, probably 80,000 euro. And we didn't know how to pay that. And, you know, the Lord said to my heart, you know, you just keep the building, trust me. But it was tough, you know. We didn't have oil. We need heat in the winter because it's getting 20 degrees below zero sometimes. And we didn't have any oil in the tank. It's an oil heater. So one day we put a water bottle in the middle of the church, and it was freezing. We gave out blankets, you know, and we said, if you want it warm next Sunday, just put some coins in that bucket there, and we buy some oil. You know, we sold everything that was of any value in this building just to make the next payment. It wasn't always easy, but, you know, we need to act in faith sometimes. And then we started to pay off the building. 2014, the building was paid off. Brother Stuart came, and other Americans, all the soldiers and the preachers came, and we had a great service together. And then we started every year, we started to renovate the building even further. And the Lord is faithful. He brought some children, families, new visitors, and now almost every Sunday we see visitors coming. So this is my dream come true. You know, there's nothing greater than serving the Lord. You know, you cannot buy that for money. And my last point is, deeper experiences with God demand us to be dedicated disciples. Peter needed Jesus to bless his little business. He needed Jesus. You know, he figured out Jesus is a good fisherman at all. You know, after all, he's good. He knows where the fishes are. And I believe in his mind, he probably thought, man, it'd be good to have him in the business. You know, I want Jesus in my little business. And maybe we can tell him, you know, you just tell us where the fishes are. We do all the work, you know. We do all the hard work. You just sit in the boat and you say, there, there, there. That'd be fine. And then we make big money. You know, that's how people are, you know. I want Jesus in my little life. I want Jesus working for me. I want Jesus in my business. But Jesus had a business that is greater. And he said, Peter, I need you in my business. I need you to leave all that, what you just caught, and follow me. Wow. I made the biggest catch of my life today. And you want me to leave that now? Yes, I want you to leave that. You know, Abraham, he prayed for a son. He got it. And then God asked him to offer his son. Hannah in the Bible, she prayed for a child. The Lord gave that child and she dedicated it to God. You know, sometimes God is asking us to follow him. And we need to be dedicated disciples. That means we need to leave the world behind us and the cross before us. We need to serve the Lord and make God a priority in our lives. I don't know about you, but you know, many people left Germany, the mission field. You see them coming and going, and some have good reasons and some not. You see people serving the Lord, and then they go different directions. And oftentimes, the world is giving them opportunities, and they want to be rich. They want to be maybe famous. They want to be, the world offers fame and power, and they want to promise us success and an easy life and all kinds of advantages. And you must set your mind on the Lord. You know, you cannot serve God and the mammon. What do you want? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, I wouldn't trade living for Jesus for a successful business life. I wouldn't trade. I'm so happy to serve the Lord tonight. I don't know about you, but make it the first priority in life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. Let's make that decision tonight. Deeper experiences with God are often preceded by failures and crisis. For deeper experiences with God, we must take God's word personally. For deeper experiences with God, we must learn to act in faith. And deeper experiences with God demand us to be dedicated disciples. Let us pray.